Hello. Hi, everybody. What's up? I'm George Massey. We didn't go live yesterday, for other issues, but last week, we tried to go live and there was technical issues. So we're gonna try it again this week. Hopefully it works. It's the George Massey show. We're gonna talk about hey Shelly, we're gonna talk about some TLC stuff. There's been a bunch of shows. Can discuss because we didn't talk about Happily Ever After. There's The Other Way, they're seeking sister wife. There's a lot to talk about. So, oh, look, it's
Hi,
Tina.
sorry.
Howdy,
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are
Okay,
you?
perfect.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Sorry, everybody, we're late because of me. I just got home from the gym, so.
It's okay. It's okay. Gina is more focused on her fitness than I am. I should have been in the gym, but I was not. I was sitting on the couch eating sweet and sour chicken.
Important things. I
So,
also watch 90 Day.
I mean, yeah, I didn't have to have the sweet and sour chicken though, Gina. I just was eating it. So, but.
Oh, sweet and sour chicken, or the chicken, like the fried chicken balls, with sweet and sour sauce.
Yeah, but I took it a little further. There was also rice.
Yeah, of course.
There was other stuff involved. So yeah.
Chicken fried rice, chopped
Yeah, there was
food.
other stuff involved, but we're not going to get into that right now. That's a whole nother conversation. But I do want to talk about Happily Ever After. So yesterday we watched Happily Ever After, and I wanted to talk about some key points that came up on the show. There wasn't a whole lot. Y'all don't get me started on dumplings. I love those. I literally buy them. I literally eat them weekly. Like, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started on that. But I want to talk about some key points that happened yesterday on Happily Ever After. So Jasmine met Matt's ex-roommate, a fellow Romanian, and there was a lot of talk about Romanian culture and how it's not okay to have a baby out of wedlock. And he's embarrassed, I guess is the best way to put it. He's embarrassed because his mom is probably going to judge him. And now all of a sudden, Matt is now worried about God and being a moral citizen at the same time, which I think is funny because he was fully aware that Jasmine was married when they got together. So what are your thoughts on that? Because Gina, you go to church, right? You're a religious woman. What are your
Sure,
thoughts?
sometimes.
Well, I mean, you have morals, right? So how do you feel about Matt not telling his family and being embarrassed of the situation that he got in? Because it's not like he woke up one day and found himself in this decision or in this situation. He knew that Jasmine was married when he met her. He knew that Gino was still in the picture when they were sleeping together. So why all of a sudden is he embarrassed of the situation now?
See, I don't know if he's Orthodox, or if he's Christian, or if he's Catholic. It's basically the same thing at the end of the day, almost.
It's all bad, right? Whichever one, you shouldn't be having babies with married women. Like, it's all bad, right?
Well, he, like, his mom's gonna be like, oh my, like, if they're religious and they obey the commandments. They're gonna be like, oh my God, you committed one of the number one sins. Do not commit adultery. And that's exactly what you did. Or do not covet your neighbor's wife. That's it. So, and that's exactly what he did. And at the same time, it's like, he's probably before when he was messing around with her, he didn't think anything of it. And then now he's thinking, like, I'm gonna put a knife. Basically, in my mom's heart, basically the only woman I've ever loved, like who's loved me in return, undevoted love is
Yeah.
a mother's love for a child, and here he is disobeying everything she's taught him, or everything that his parents taught him.
Yeah, Gina, but you know what I like to say? He wasn't thinking about that when he was balls deep, committing those sins, right?
No.
He wasn't thinking about his mom.
He was thinking about the eggplant. He wasn't thinking about, like, he wasn't up here. He was thinking about down there.
Right. And it's because a lot of people on Twitter, they've been going back and forth with me, and they were like, well, it's not fair. You're blaming Matt because I call him a male homewrecker, right? I always call him that. And people are like, that's not fair because she's also a part of this. They're like, you can't put all the blame on him. And I was like, well, you're right. That isn't fair to put all the blame on him. But he makes it as though he's an innocent bystander in this situation because he's like, well, I don't want Jasmine, you know, to tell people she's pregnant and I don't want her to advertise our relationship. And I was like, well, you can't act like you're embarrassed of her now because, you know, you are fully...
It takes two to tango.
Well, right. He was a full participant in this. He actually had a phone call with Gino and discussed sleeping with Jasmine. Do you remember that? It was televised.
Yes.
It was on the last resort. So he acts as though, you know, he's embarrassed and, you know, this is going to hurt him and his mom's going to be disappointed. And I was like, you are fully in on this. Like, you can't, you know, that's like going to court and saying, I didn't know anything about it. I was just in the back seat when they robbed the bank. I was actually getting a ride to work. Like, no. You knew y'all were...
I was just the Uber rider and the taxi rider and everybody else.
Thank you. You knew where y'all were going. Don't act like this is news to you. Like, and how do you think a woman gets pregnant? You know, they teach you this in sex ed in school because he's like, we didn't plan this. I was like, well, the only way...
it's not her first rodeo.
Well, the only way a woman gets pregnant by accident is if her name is the Mother Mary. Right? Like, it's not, because a lot of people are like, oh, we weren't planning it. I was like, so were you having sex? Were you wearing condoms? If the answer to that is yes and no, then you were planning on having a child. Right? So you can't, I hate that excuse where they're like, oh, well, we didn't think anybody was going to get pregnant. I was like, but you were having unprotected sex. Do I need to go get you like a fifth grade textbook? Because this is not science. This isn't rocket science. If you're not wearing protection, she's not on birth control. You can't just say, oh, well, yeah, we were sleeping together, but we didn't think she would get pregnant. That's just how it works.
Well, at the same time, not to TMI anybody, but there's actual, I know it might not be accurate, but there's actual apps where it tells you when you can, cannot get pregnant.
Ovulation apps. You're right.
Yeah.
And you have to be very careful with that because you could be off by a day and then you end up.
Exactly. Or like you take the clear blue test to see if you are or not, if you're in that bracket.
See, I think what's really funny about this to me is both Matt and Jasmine have failed to tell anybody about their relationship because Jasmine was like, I feel like he's embarrassed of me. And I was like, well, you're embarrassed of him. Because nobody in your family or your kids back home knows about him either. It's the same thing.
They're both embarrassed of the situation that they got themselves in.
Yes. And she's trying to make it seem like he's embarrassed of her. And I was like, no, you're both embarrassed because you're both grown adults who should have known better. Right? Because she's like, I didn't tell my family or my mom or my kids or anyone, you know, because this is embarrassing. I was like, you're right. You're both adults. You should have thought about this beforehand. And she made a really interesting comment yesterday after Gino called her and read his letter, which I thought was, we'll get into, but she said that the reason why she's still married to Gino is she said she doesn't know what would happen if she divorces him. She didn't know if she was going to get deported or not. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know what type of paperwork she has because, you know, as you stay in the U.S., you get like a residency card, you get green card, like, but as time progresses, you don't just get citizenship right away, right?
It's a process.
Yeah, so we don't know what she currently has, but she said that the only reason why she won't file for divorce from Gino is because she's scared that she might get deported and have to go back to Panama, which, is that so bad? Is it so bad to go back to your kids that probably would love for you to come back? Like, what is she... have in the U.S. that she can't give up because Gino doesn't want her. Half the time, her and Matt don't get along. I'm trying to understand, and she's not linked to any job here other than the show. Like, what is so important that she has?
She's an opportunist, basically. Like, because she's cheap. We all know she's thrifty. If she leaves to Panama, who's going to pay for that nice apartment? It ain't going to be Gino. It ain't going to be Matt.
apparently
she's gonna start working even more. And the only work she does is 90 Day, Cameo, and OF.
So apparently Gina wants his $80,000. And he said that he went to immigration to report her for marriage fraud. Now, there's some people going back and forth with me on Twitter. They said that everything that she said and done on the show, they said it still doesn't constitute marriage fraud because when she got here, they got married, they consummated the marriage, and they physically lived together.
Yeah.
So they said that it would be really difficult to prove that she defrauded him because, you know, people who defraud people, they might never live together. They might not consummate the marriage. She did all those things. So yeah. I think that at the end of the day, because, you know, we tried to watch Danielle get Muhammad deported because she said that it was marriage fraud. But at the end of the day, they consummated the marriage. They physically lived together in the same household for a period of time. So the judge was like, well, that's not fraud. You don't love each other, but it's not fraud. So I don't think that we'll get lucky and Jasmine will get sent back to Panama. I don't think so because they did live together. She had mail come into his house. They consummated the marriage. They physically got married legally in the U.S. I don't think that he would be able to prove that she defrauded him. Scammed him? Yeah, right? I think she scammed him. But when it comes to a federal crime, I don't think that he'll be able to prove it.
See, I think these laws there need to change with the marriage fraud definition because, for instance, with Jasmine's case, you've basically scammed somebody. You're pregnant by somebody else while you're still married. How is that not a scam? And same with Danielle and Mohammed. Like, he wouldn't, like, kiss her on the wedding day because of religious purposes. So clearly, there has to be some, like, a better outline to be like, our citizens, well, not our citizens, United States of American citizens are getting ripped off and scammed by snakes like Jasmine or Muhammad. And the government needs to step in and take better care of your people.
Yeah, you're right. They prey on very vulnerable people, right? Danielle was very vulnerable. She was looking for love. She thought she found love and, you know, he had other plans from the very beginning, but he still showed up. He still married her. They still consummated the marriage. They still lived together. And you're right. The constitution of what a real marriage is, it still leaves room for you to be in a fraudulent marriage and it still be legal. And I think that's what's scary because as long as you do the things outlined that they say you need to do, you need to live together, you need to physically get married in the U.S. on U.S. soil, you need to consummate the marriage. You know, as long as you do those things, they follow those guidelines, that you can't prove in court that it wasn't real. Even though their intentions could have been negative, you can't prove that it wasn't real.
Exactly, but you can also, like, people, for instance, could do it for marriage for money, right? Type of thing like that with a family, where they live together, but they're roommates, mail's coming to them, they have separate bank accounts, right? They sleep together one night, and that's it. Does that constitute as marriage fraud? Yeah, it is. Because here you have other citizens wanting to get into the country who are in a relationship, who's not taking advantage of each other, and then they're SOL.
So enough Jasmine mess for tonight.
Yeah, because she looked like Snuff and Wuffagus from Sesame Street.
Yeah,
and
enough
shed carpet
mess tonight. And, you know, we could talk about her all night. But Darcy and Stacey had a scene on tonight, and we found out some cool information, right? So a couple weeks ago, Georgie said that, he called Darcy and Stacey broke girls, said that they didn't have any money and they lived beyond their means. And then yesterday, Darcy said that Georgie pays half of their rent. And okay, Gina, I'm not against equality in relationships. Hey, Lana. But are you surprised that Georgie is paying anything? Because I was under the impression when an older woman gets a boy toy, a live-in boy toy, right? Because that's clearly what Georgie is. He's a boy toy, just like Florian. Florian ain't got no job. He's a boy toy. I didn't realize that they were charging because look, when an 80-year-old man or a 75-year-old man gets him a 26-year-old girlfriend, she's not paying half of the rent, okay? She's not. She doesn't even have a job. She only has his credit card in her name that she's swiping all day while he's, I don't know, on an IV or whatever old people do. But the idea that Darcy has Georgie paying half of the rent, that caught me off guard, right? I didn't expect that.
Yeah, it caught me off guard too, but I think I replied to your tweet that I think the dad owns the house, like whatever apartment they're renting, or he's leased it and his name is on the lease. So, and they agreed to do 50-50 rent payment.
Oh, so that, because Darcy did say in order to force Georgie to pay certain bills, she has to attach her dad in a group chat.
Exactly.
And then with
Mr. Why else would he be relevant to the conversation if his name is not on the
list? Well, right. Because that's what was confusing to me. Because I was like, what does Georgie care if Darcy's dad is mad at him or not?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why would you? First of all, he's all the way in Connecticut and you don't even got to look at him. But second of all, like you said, why would you care? So maybe you're right. He signed for the apartment. Say, for instance, between Darcy and Georgie, they didn't have the credit, you know, I don't know, whatever they look for in an apartment. They didn't want to give them the apartment just based on their means. So Michael Silva, Mr. Silva, decided to sign his name on the dotted line as the co-signer. Is mm-hmm. that what you call it? A co-borrower, whatever you are for an apartment.
Co-signer, yeah.
Maybe that's why she's including that. Because I was really confused. I was like, she's a 50-year-old woman and she has to tell her dad on her husband when he doesn't pay half of the rent.
And I'm telling you, that's the reason why. That's the only logical reason why, because why else would she be crying wolf?
I mean, I agree with you. I can't think of any real reason why her dad would be to be accept or a part of that. And also, Georgie paying, because look, I've been saying this for years and years and years. Georgie looks like he is checked out of this relationship. He never looks happy. He always looks like he wants to leave. And I always said, Gina, you know I've always said this, he only leaves because a free ride is too good to pass up. So now that I know that Georgie's not even getting a free ride, how do you explain why he stays with Darcy? Because now I'm out of explanations that make sense.
I like your famous line goes, I have questions. Like I don't know. I think he's just riding the TLC train.
But they don't even do shows as much as they used to. Like, okay, so when they were doing the Darcy and Stacey spinoff, each person was getting a fat check for that. But you know, when you get your own show, your payment goes up. But when you're on a 90 Day Fiancé show, you know, your episode fee is really low. So when they were doing the Darcy and Stacey show, Georgie probably was like, well, you know, I get 10,000 an episode, whatever, 5,000 an episode. It's worth dealing with her, right? Because they did a good, what, 4 or 5 seasons of that show. That was a good investment for him. But now that I know that they're sporadically on shows, right? They're barely doing the TLC shows anymore after their show got canceled. And Georgie married her while they were, after her show was canceled, he married her after that. How do you explain that? He could have easily walked away then.
Yeah, but he didn't because I thought I read somewhere that they were going to be on another network or another show because their contract with TLC had expired.
Well, so, once they do another show, the contract resets. So now that
they're exactly. So now after. They're, but then when they got married, I think when they're saying like, oh, our wedding won't be featured on TLC, but it won't be featured somewhere else. Who knows where? But that's what I thought I read, but it could be wrong because it was quite some time ago and I have a memory of a peanut.
I'm out of ideas. I don't understand the relationship. Like, I thought I understood the relationship. I thought it was he's with a MILF and, you know, he's kind of like the Florian situation. Like Renee said, he sees the free ride that Florian has and he wants the same. Because, you know, we've watched Florian on Darcy and Stacey show too. And Stacey tried putting Florian out into the work world. Remember, he wanted to be a model and she tried to get him a job and he didn't want to do any of that. And he still doesn't. And I think maybe Georgie thought that he was going to get that same free ride. But now he's paying half the rent with somebody that you kind of can tell he can't stand.
He don't like you.
He don't like her. So I'm really confused at know,
It's just the
why?
next one for couples retreat or whatnot. It's just it's the same. It's all the recycled BS, unfortunately, people. And we're going to see them on the last resort.
Oh,
And then we're going to see them on Happily Ever After.
did
And
you
then we're going
see
to see.
that Liz was on Diaries, and she said that she and Jay were broken up, which you already knew, but she said that she thought they signed a 12-month lease, but they actually signed like an 18-month lease. So remember I told you that I heard that she was still living with him after they had broken up. So she revealed on Diaries that she had to stay put with Jay even after they broke up because they signed an 18-month lease. Maybe Georgie and Darcy signed a really long lease.
Yeah,
And he
maybe.
can't leave. And like you said, it's attached to Darcy's dad, who's a businessman who probably would sue Georgie if he really wanted to, if he screwed him over. So it could be like more of that type of situation, because I'm really trying to understand. I thought Georgie was just out living his best life, swiping Darcy's credit card. So now that I know that he's paying for his own stuff, there has to be more to this story. Like, what's keeping him around? Why would he want to deal with her? Because she's not easy to deal with. I've never really seen Darcy happy with any man ever. Remember Jesse, she wasn't happy with Tom, she wasn't happy. Georgie, she's never been happy. She's always finds something wrong with the person that she's with. There's always an issue. She's never
There's an
valid.
issue with her, not with them, because it's a repeat, it's the cycle, it's repeating itself.
Yeah. I mean, the common denominator is Darcy is always unhappy with everyone. So you can't really hold it accountable to those people aren't treating her right. It's Darcy can't find happiness in someone else, which you're not supposed to, right? You're not supposed to find happiness in other people because at the end of the day, you're supposed to make yourself happy. I know I
You
make
make your
myself
own
happy.
happiness. Yeah.
Wait, Georgie moved to the US to get famous and this is the closest he could get. Well, Joda says that that was his goal. Well, Georgie, okay, so look, Georgie has been here for 10, 12, 13 years. He was here way before Darcy.
Yeah.
So he was definitely
Because he
here. Like,
even dated that other girl that
didn't
was
he
on the
marry
Darcy
her?
and Stacey show.
He
Oh,
married
he
her, I
married
thought.
her.
Yeah, he literally married her. He, because remember, Darcy didn't know that Georgie was married. Like, that was a whole thing. Like, he got here, had his own life set up with another woman, and then that didn't work out. And instead of divorcing that woman, he ended up living with Darcy. And then Darcy finds out later that she's living with a married man. She's embarrassed, you know, because she thought that she was dating a single person, but that was the whole thing. All right, so we're gonna jump over. Wait, what else happened on? I think that was it, right? For Happily Ever After, because Gino read his letter and he said that he was
That's
expecting.
basically it. We don't need to see Dumb and Dumber, Tweedledee, Tweedledum at Lake Placid. No, I'm over that whole situation altogether.
Right. So we went to Lake Placid, and then Brandon said he quit his job. Oh wait, Nikki said in all fairness, Tom sucked. He did. He did. Like, if we're gonna be 100% fair, but if we're gonna be real fair, so did Jesse though. Jesse was
Yeah.
not like, maybe Darcy's picker is broken. It could be,
Her
because you know,
radar and not seeing the red flags is kind of
yeah,
like
like we
turned
can't just come
off.
down and say that Darcy is 100% the problem, because you're right, Tom and Jesse are enough to send any sane woman into a insane asylum, right? Like, so it's not fair to come down on Darcy. Darcy definitely picks the wrong men, and then the wrong men treat her
Maybe
really
she's
bad.
70% of the problem, and
Yeah,
then there's
let's do that 70-30, right? Right? She gotta pick better guys, right? And Georgie doesn't seem like, he doesn't seem terrible, but he definitely doesn't seem like he loves her. Yeah, we're not doing the Florida group tonight, guys. Jesse deserved Jen. I know, right? Why did they break up? I felt like they were perfect for each other. All right, so we're gonna meet Sumit's aunt. She's the new villain. So she has declared war on Jenny and she called her old, and she basically is saying that she's unfamilying the family because she doesn't accept Jenny, even though they've been together for like damn near 15 years. And I don't know how the aunt missed this. Can you imagine being that absent from your family's life that you didn't realize that your nephew has been with someone twice as or two or three times his age for like almost 2 decades, and you're just now getting the memo now? Like, how absent of a family member do you have to be?
It's probably because his mom didn't say anything because she was embarrassed to her.
Well, I heard Submit's ex her his mom's explanation tonight, because she was like, you know, I didn't like it, and then my husband talked to me about it, and then when I found out they were already married, she was like, there's nothing I can do to change it, now I just need to accept it. And Submit is worried. He was like, well, now that there's another naysayer in her ear, he was like, what if my mom goes back on her decision to accept it? And that's very possible, right? Like, when you don't have anybody fighting your decision, nobody, you know, in your ear telling you how wrong it is and disowning you for it, it's easier for you to go along with it. So this could be, you know, the beginning of more issues for them. But this age thing is, at the end of the day, it's really getting old. We know that Jenny is what, 67, 68, 69, I don't know. She's up there. And we know that Submit's in his 30s. And at the end of the day,
It is what it is. Just move on.
Nobody is going to break them up, right?
And I said in your tweet, there, I'm like, oh, his mom probably invited all the family members over so they can get a portion of the TLC check coming their way. Like, oh, I've got a great opportunity for you. You just have to do it like this.
Well, I think the auntie got the memo that she was the villain. You know, in every storyline on 90 Day Fiancé, there's that one friend or family member who's against everything that you're doing. And it's their responsibility to cause problems. And I think that she got the memo. She understood the assignment. Mm-hmm. And she earned her check, right? When they signed that check and they handed it to her, she earned that check. She basically was overdramatic. She was rude. She caused a whole bunch of problems and she left. And, you know, at the end of the day, Jenny and Submit have been together for too long for anybody to have a problem with it anymore, right? Like, when I realized they had been together for like 15 years, I was like, damn. If it wasn't going to work out, they would have broke up when she was still in her 50s, right? So exactly. At this point, I think I don't even want to hear about the age situation anymore. And they're like, oh, what if he wants to have a family? Oh, well, they've been married for 50. He knew she wasn't having no kids 15 years ago, and he still wanted to be with her. So at the end of the day, he made his decision. He's a grown man. He's a big boy. He'll be okay not having no kids. There's really, I don't know. I feel like this storyline is like, somebody posted
overplayed.
A dead horse being beat with a bat. You know, it's really overplayed and I'm kind of over it. So Luke is trying to pay for the wedding with Madeline. And, you know, we met with the wedding planner. And last week you put some thoughts in my head because you were like, I feel like the wedding planner is in on this. And she's also scamming Luke, because I'm 130,000% positive that Madeline is scamming Luke, right? Because she was like, oh, you need to send me money. But she's always just saying, send me money, send me money, send me money, send me money. And then she'll tell him the money is for something specific. And then she'll, I think, forget that she's like, oh, I need money for this. And then she'll ask for money for that exact same thing again because she's just scamming him. She doesn't really care.
I said it last week. I'm like, no, the wedding coordinator planner is in on it.
She is, because she was backing up Madeline. She was like, no, you sent me money for this, not this. And then the wedding planner's like, yeah, you never gave me money for that. And I was like, no, y'all are in cahoots.
I told you, right?
And I bet you know what's even more funny, Gina? The wedding probably only costs like $500. They're gonna keep the other like 10 grand and split.
Exactly.
They're so smart. Cause I was like, you have her verifying the money that he sent, and you're telling her how much to say, and he's just like, no, I sent you this.
They're playing this gringo for a fool.
Yes. And he is such an easy target too, because it's almost like he likes the abuse, right? So what's funny is their relationship kind of reminds me of Gino and Jasmine, because she's super mean and abusive and nasty, and he just keeps coming back for more. And that's kind of what I used to say about Gino, because I was like, after she ripped his hat off, remember, and threw stuff at him and took the toothbrush and threw it out there. And I was like, why do you keep going back for more abuse? Like, she clearly don't like you. She can't stand you. She don't love you. And that's kind of how Luke is. He gets on an airplane and he goes back to Colombia so she can abuse him. And in this preview, what did we see? She got a cheesecake and she threw the cheesecake all up in his face right after she said, let's stop fighting. Let's get over all these issues. And then she threw a cheesecake in his face. And it's like, I don't even think that this relationship is even gonna last that long because he's out of money. Yeah. And Madeline is only after one thing. She needs money sent to her regularly. He pays her rent. He opened a business for her in her name. And I hate to call anybody an idiot, Gina, but she was so...
Let's be honest. Come on now, George.
She is so smart. Like, everybody can say anything that they want to say about her, but she's super intelligent because she's made sure all the real estate, the businesses, and anything that she's milking him for is in her name. She's very intelligent.
If they do another season of that LoveCon show, she should be on that show.
But she's not, like, an amazing con artist. I think Luke is just an idiot. Like, she's not, like, she's not outsmarting anybody. I just think Luke is not intelligent enough to pick up that he's being conned.
He's not the brightest crayon in
the world. Like, if this was happening to me, Gina, I would have picked up, like, 3 years ago that I was being scammed. Mm-hmm. Right? Same with you. You would have picked up on it right away. But for him, he just keeps going back for more and more and more. And she's literally, he said it on the show, he was making six figures, living an amazing life before he met her. And now he's so much in debt that he doesn't even know how he's gonna pay for his next meal. That's how much that she scammed out of him, and he keeps going back for more.
I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, so Joda said, I'm amazed that a 20-year-old acts like that, and the nails and the Nutella was disgusting. Yeah, it's hard to believe that she's 20. She's very immature, and she reminds me of, you know, Gina, you know, you go to the Valley in California, and there's like girls that look like Madeline everywhere. They're really pretty. They have long nails. They drive a Mercedes G-Wagon, and they're kind of whiny, and they're mad, and they call their dad whenever they need $14,000. That's kind of how she comes off for me. She's like really, really, wait, Scott says common sense goes out the window when you love someone. You just justify things. No, I agree with you, Scott. Scott, you're right. When you're in love, you ignore red flags. But I want to make sure everyone's aware, I'll never love anyone enough to let them make me look like she makes Luke look. Or like how Jasmine made Gino look. I'll never love anyone or anything that much for you to play me to the point where I'm being played like an instrument. I'll never love anybody that much. Like, and I get it. When you're vulnerable and you're looking for love, you make questionable decisions. But after like the 10th red flag, Gina... the flags are, they're swinging so hard.
They're waving, like, hi.
You can't ignore them. They're smacking you across the face, right? Like, after, like, the 10th red flag, I'm going to be like, you know what? I don't think this is going to work because you don't actually love me. Like, if the only time I can get you to pick up the phone is right after I sent you a transfer of money, this isn't going to work. Right? Because that's how Madeline is. She doesn't want to talk to him. She doesn't want to deal with him unless he's sending money. And that's a massive red flag for me. And I get it. I get that in a relationship, oh, Scott says, I give great advice, but you don't listen to your own advice when you love them. Just my two cents. I mean, no, you're right. I've seen stories where a therapist got scammed, love scammed. And, you know, these people, their job is to give you good advice and to make sound decisions, and they got scammed. So yeah, love makes you do crazy things. I guess for me, love is not as important as it is for some people. I'm not gonna compromise my life and financial stability because I love somebody. I'm not gonna do that. I don't love anybody that much. I love things, I love people, but I think I love money more.
I was going to say that.
I think so, right?
George loves money more than...
Do you know what makes me happy? Laying in the bed with a whole bunch of money and hugging my money. That makes me so happy, right? And we can just watch Netflix together, me and my money.
And it won't talk back.
Yeah. It won't get mad at me when I change this channel because I don't want to watch it anymore. I just lay in the bed with my money and I'm so happy. And I'll just be like, money, do you like this show? I like this show, right? It doesn't say anything. It doesn't yell at me. It doesn't throw cheesecake at me. It doesn't scam me out of $80,000. Like, I love money. Money is like the perfect partner for me. Like, I'm totally fine with that. Oh, wait. Okay, Nikki says, we're going to see Luke adding up how much it costed him on the giant calculator. I can't wait. I actually can't wait. Yeah, that was my favorite scene when Gino had his calculator and he was like, "This is how much Jasmine got me for 76,000 whatever." And I was like, "I'm ready for this. I want see, you know the show, Love After Lockup, they usually have the cast members say how much they spent on the person before they got released. I wish 90 Day Fiancé did that too, where the cast member says, "I've invested this amount of money since this relationship started." That way we have an idea of how far deep in this relationship they are, because however many zeros and commas you get to, that's how deep you into this relationship. And I bet you with Luke, it's probably well over 100 grand. Well over 100 grand. Because he sends money too easily, Gina. He doesn't even know what it's for. And he just sends it. He sends it too easy. Scott says, "I had money and lost money many times. I can't live with regrets as long as I know I gave my best and it comes with the cost." Yes, but yes, but love does not cost anything, Scott. So at the end
Yeah,
of the
just like the
day,
J-Lo song, love don't
yeah,
cost a
it doesn't
thing.
cost anything. And if someone doesn't love you just because they love you specifically, wait, Scott said, "I spent 50,000 to Colombia in 2020 to 2023. Scott, no, bad Scott. That is not well over 100K. She drives a BMW. Oh yeah, Nikki, you're right. A BMW, the one that she drives is the truck, right? Those are 75K. You're right. So we're probably talking like 200 or 250K. And I think the only reason why Luke will stop sending her money is because he ran out of money. I think as long as he had it, he would keep sending
His
it to
bank
her.
account's, like, if it hasn't already, it's gone NSF, basically.
I think he said on this season he showed up with $3,000 to his name. This
Yeah, because
is.
that's the $3,000 that his dad gave him before he left.
Yeah, so I think he was already completely broke when he got there this time. So that's why I said, I don't think this relationship is going to make it very far, because the second she finds out that he's broke, she's going to kick his ass to the curb. She's
Okay.
absolutely done.
We've spent way too much time on these, like,
Oh,
finger-licking good Nutella eater.
Manon is in France with her family. There wasn't really a lot that happened, but she did confront her mom regarding the body shaming, which I don't know. This was over a decade ago, and I feel like, do you think it's a closure thing when you discuss stuff like that? Oh, such a long time has passed. Because, now that you're living in their house for free, it's probably not good to go and confront them about things that they did 10 years ago. Because now that you've sold your house, you don't have anywhere to go. So say, for instance, said mom doesn't like that you're calling her out for something that happened 10 years ago, and said mom then kicks you out. Where are you gonna live now?
Well, here's the thing. With the it had to, it, she probably had to say it because her mom was gonna probably drive her crazy and like saying comments or whatever and nitpicking at her. So I think it like she just said it because it had to be done and it had to be said and she had to get it off her chest and she did
But
and then we'll see what happens.
in their culture, in some cultures, I've learned calling someone overweight is not necessarily seen as bullying. Did you realize that? Like in some
Oh,
cultures?
I know that.
Yeah, it's not necessarily, because some cultures look at it as, well, I'm trying to motivate you to work out more. Or, because in some cultures, because, in America, we're like the fattest country in the world. Like, I think percentage-wise, there's more overweight people in the United States than any other country, as far as I read, right? I don't know if anybody has beat us lately, but as far as I read, the US has made it to the highest ranking percentage-wise of people that are overweight. And other countries they stay out of that top 10 because they say subtle, mean things to try and keep people, and especially parents. Parents do it to their kids. And a lot of parents will say, "Oh, well, I'm not bullying them. I'm motivating them and, trying to push them in a healthy direction." Do you think Manon's parents see what they were doing to her as they were trying to push her in a more healthy direction?
See, coming from a similar background of Manon, not France, ugh, God, but coming from kind of a similar background where it was just like, I like Europeans, and depending on like with like Hispanic, Italian, Portuguese, we all have like curves, and unfortunately, we can't get rid of them. Most of us have curves, and that's the circle of life. And I had went to visit my aunt on my dad's side last year when I went to Europe, and I told her, I'm like, these hips are not going away. This is your fault. This is genetics. This is your fault. She said, oh no, that's not a me problem. That's a you problem.
Well, yeah, but she probably came from a place of love. The words don't feel that way. But in a lot of cultures, people say really mean things
They do. They
from a
do. And you're
place
just
of
supposed to
love.
take it. They're just supposed to
Yeah.
it's tough love. You're just supposed to take it.
And I think the issue in the US is we don't take it as love, we take it as bullying. And that's why it doesn't motivate a lot of people to change because they're like, well, you shouldn't speak to me that way. You shouldn't make me feel bad about the way that I look, which they shouldn't. But I know in other cultures and other countries, people get away with saying a lot of mean stuff. And you know, if someone says that to you, you might not never speak to that person again. But in other cultures, that might be a family member, and you still talk to them for the rest of your
I
life.
still talk to them.
See?
It's just
It's
like,
just
I'm so immune to it, right?
it's
It's like
so
small jabs, like,
well,
oh
it's
no.
really weird. But I was like, I wonder if Manon is confusing cultures, right? Because she lived in France for most of her life, and then she moved to LA. You know, LA is the most accepting body positive place that you're gonna go, right? Like, because it's kind of like the melting pot of a lot of the trends that get set in the US. It starts in LA and then it spreads throughout the
But it's
country.
also the plastic capital of the United States as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of fakeness going on. There's not any real natural looks anymore. Everything is plastic and aesthetic and created. And I don't know, I think that her holding that grudge against her mother, you know, because you know, I was raised in a cult, right? So my mom used to say stuff to me like, oh, if you eat pork, you'll go to hell, you can't go to heaven. You know, she said stuff to me that was very traumatizing, right? Like, if you aren't married and you have sex, you're never going to get into heaven. Like, there's a lot of stuff that my mom said regularly to me. And
It's like a mind fuck. It's like a
yeah,
mind
so
game.
at the end of the day, it came from love, right? She was part of a cult, and that's what she really believed, you know. And I wasn't gonna stop talking to my mother because of her beliefs. So I don't know. I think that she has to understand that in different cultures, people communicate differently and in ways that you might find to be offensive, depending on what culture you adopt later in life. Like in our culture, like Gina, the things that you hear probably from your family, I would consider them be offensive. Like they are mean, right? Because we were raised differently in different parts of the world with different cultures. So yeah, I think that her making a big deal about the weight thing is probably not, I don't think her mom has any ill will towards her.
No, I don't think so either. We're like Europeans, a lot of us just speak our minds and we're just savage, and that's that. It's like we're not holding back.
Yeah. Oh wait, Nikki says she turned her trauma into money until that husband found her. Yeah, Manon was doing amazing up until she met Anthony, and then her life spiraled out of
Tornado.
control. Yeah, and I hate to tell people that the person that they love isn't the right person for them, but if your life took a downward spiral when you started dating or you married someone, it could be very well related to that person. She never had anything negative to say about the direction of her life until she met him. And then things took a downward spiral. So yeah, I think that she's raising a grown man, and she shouldn't have to raise a grown man and a child. She should just have to raise one. And I
A
think if
child, not a
yeah.
man child.
She
Okay,
needs.
moving on.
So, okay, what else? That was it, right? On the
No,
other
we
way.
have Aruba.
Chloe, yeah. So Chloe got there, and then less than a day later, she was trying to tell Johnny he needs to quit his job because he works for the pirate ship where she said that there's women in dental floss.
Bikini, dental floss bikinis.
Dental floss. How could dental floss possibly cover anything, Gina? That was boggling me. I was like, is that a real thing? Do they really have dental floss bikinis? I don't even think there's anything on the body that you can cover with dental floss. So she's basically saying it's like, if it was the other way around, she would be working at a strip club entertaining men. She looks at it as his job is him being a male whore, which I think is a little outrageous because he did mention that there's families and children who also take the cruise. So there isn't any debauchery. To say it's like a strip club, they don't let children in the strip club, so it's definitely not the same thing.
No.
Right? It's not the same thing.
And he met her on the ship. So what's her problem?
That's like going to the strip club, you meet your favorite stripper, and then you get to date her, and then you tell her she can't be a stripper anymore.
Yeah. Because
that's what drew you to her. That's what drew her to him. He was the fun guy on the cruise ship that she wanted to bang, and then she did. And now she wants to take him out of rotation. Right?
Exactly. That's kind of what... And he said that his ex did the same thing. He worked at a hotel. He was miserable. And then he's just like, he didn't go into the backstory of what his ex did, but still, I was just like,
well, he did say a couple weeks ago his ex cheated on him.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, we don't know. But
exactly.
We just know she didn't like his job. And why is it that the women don't trust him? Because I haven't heard a lot of stories that make it seem like he's out cheating on women all the time. She did say that he was talking to other women.
Well, remember, on the first episode or second episode, she said that he went to Florida and invited another girl for his birthday to go with him and his friends.
That's not hardcore proof, though.
That is not hardcore proof, but any woman would be pissed off and there would be a red flag.
You're right. If you're in a relationship and he invited some girl to his birthday and didn't invite you, you're right. That's questionable. But why would you move to Aruba to be with somebody who did that to you?
Because he said, she's got one set mind and it's vacation life forever because I don't have an issue with her, but she seems to be very silver spoon. Like she grew up with a silver spoon in her mouth, basically.
Well,
so everything is handed to her when she asks.
So he said he wanted to start a business, which he doesn't even know what the business is. He just said it has to be on the water. I don't know what that means. You know, I don't do water, so I don't know what people be doing out there on the water.
It could be jet skiing. It could be but then you'd have to invest a lot of money in jet skis and getting a license.
I think he meant I want to invest a lot of Chloe's money.
Well, duh.
I think that's what, because he was like, you would have to help me.
Yeah.
And I think when he said that, he was like, you were basically saying you would have to pay for it. But I guess he's looking at it as, well, if you want to take me out of the job that I do now, you're going to have to help me.
He's trying to convince her it's an investment for our future. If you want to take me out of that boat life business.
He don't even know what he want to do.
Exactly. You haven't come out with a plan.
When people have a business plan, they've been thinking about it for a long time. They know what they want to do. They've been... You know, idea to start your own business usually starts, the idea comes probably 5 to 10 years before the business comes into fruition. That idea is not new to you. So when he didn't have anything in his mind for what he wanted to do, I was like, you don't want to start a business. Because people
you just
who want to
take her money.
Yeah, you Let's want her money. Honest. And you know who did that? You remember Nicole and
Azam?
Azam's like, let's open this store. We can sell stuff in the store. Nicole sends him $15,000. There was never a store. There was never even a location for a store. He just took her money and never texted her back. And that's kind of the vibe I was getting because I was like, you don't even know what you want to do. Because he's like, we can find investors. And I was like, who's going to invest in a business?
You don't have any ideas.
You don't have a plan. Like, yeah. So I think my eyebrow went up on him a little bit because I was like, he might be that dreaded S word, the scammer word. I was like, I gotta keep an eye.
I said even before the season started, he's going to be a red flag.
I mean, at first I thought he wasn't the problem when we met her, Danielle and Johan, that nasty meat. Yo, yeah, the butcher shop with the flies. Yeah. And they actually opened that shop. It actually opened.
Quote unquote, it could have just been open for TLC production and then closed.
That was crazy. Okay, so Chloe knew what he did on a small island. There aren't many jobs. Yeah, you're right. She knew what he did, and she knew that this is a job where he's able to make a lot of money.
Okay, exactly. It's just like what's his face? That moved to whoever got married with recently, maybe last year. They were on the last season of 90 Day. He would have worked on the cruise ships.
Oh, Juan.
Yes.
Yeah,
and Jessica.
That was an interesting one too, because he actually cheated on Jessica. That was an that was an interesting one too, because he lied and lied and lied, and then we found out later he actually did cheat on her. But yeah, that was crazy. Oh wait, oh, Greta moved to France. Is it France or is it England?
England. And England. I don't want to talk much about her. She's a traitor.
I think she had her realization. She had her little scene where she got there and he set aside 20 hangers and like two drawers. And that was supposed to be her life. And I think she realized in that moment that she made
all. She's living in a freaking shoebox with like roommates, which consists of her boyfriend's parents. You got to be out of your goddamn ass mind.
That situation. Well, I saw when she started crying, I think it hit her. Sometimes you have to have a realization of your own. And you realize that
but she's been there before.
Well, she's been there on vacation. Gina, you just said vacation mode and live mode are two different mindsets. True. Because Chloe, you're right. Chloe is living in Aruba, but she's in vacation mode. So she does. It's different. It's very, very different. And I think when she's there on vacation, she's not thinking, because she knows at the end of whatever date comes, she has a return flight. She's gonna go back to her space, her own room.
But Greta doesn't. She bought a one-way ticket.
Yeah, I think she real, but I think it didn't hit her until she got there and she realized that 20 hangers. She was like, my whole life now is 20 hangers and two drawers.
And I'm living out of a suitcase, basically, yeah, for the rest of my life. You gotta be goddamn ass kidding me. I'd be like, okay, you know what? I left my cat. I'm a horrible person, but I ain't staying here. I'm going somewhere else.
Well, he should have got, if he didn't get an apartment, she should have never left.
I don't think he even anticipated her actually like falling through with this.
I got that vibe too. I think that he thought she was all talk and exactly. He didn't actually prepare because he had labeled the drawers with a G for Greta, but didn't actually take anything out of them. So you're right. I think that he thought it was all talk. And I mean, when somebody tells you they're going to move across the world for you, you do have to take that with a grain of salt, right? Because how many times do you think somebody probably said, I'm going to move to Pakistan and be with you. And then you never heard from them again and they never showed up. So I can't imagine that he really thought she would, first of all, because she was a cat lover, an animal activist, she would, first of all, get rid of her cat to be with him. And then secondly, move across the whole world and then give up her career. So I do think that it wasn't something that he was banking on. And I think now that she's there, it's probably going to be more overwhelming for him because now she's going to start demanding stuff. She's going to want to demand her own space. She's going to want
an apartment. Her own space in the fridge.
Girl, it's going to fall apart. It's going to fall apart really quickly.
Like all of them. Besides Jenny and Sumit, it's all going to come crashing down.
Living in another country is hard enough, but trying to live with someone's parents. We got two people this season. Manon is living with her parents. No, three. Three.
Jenny Sumit, Manon, and Greta.
Yeah. It's
all going to go downhill.
Ain't enough money in the world. I would never. I'll just be real. And I don't love anybody enough to live with their mom. I just don't. I can't do it. I'm grown. And, you know, whatever you say, they're still in charge of their home, so their mom can tell you when you can come home, what you can do, what you can't do. I don't love you that much.
Till this day, because we all know the housing market here is crazy expensive, my mom and my dad says, my house, my rules. Don't like it? There's the door.
They did. My mom, she always said it that way. And I agree. And now that I'm an adult, I'm the same way. I can't have people in my house acting crazy, just doing whatever they want, coming in anytime they want, messing up my stuff. I fully understand. When I was younger, I hated those rules. But now,
we were all like, rules were meant to be.
Yeah, but now when people come in my house, I'm like, hey, act like you got some sense. You know, like, hey, I get it now.
Roll, but you gotta get the fuck out of here. Bye.
Right? For a dude that lives with his parents, she left her pussycat for a D. Yeah, she did. And I love cats. I love all animals. I've had cats and dogs, and I have a cat now. And I couldn't imagine abandoning, and I have a kitten now. Like, it's 9 weeks old. I couldn't imagine abandoning a kitten for Coochie. For like, I'm sorry. It's just, I just don't
make it make sense. No,
it, make it make sense, right? Because at the end of the day, relationships don't always work out, but a cat will be loyal to you forever. For the rest of its life, it will love you. And yeah. That's what bothers me about Greta, because she gave up a cat that would have loved her till the last breath it took. For a guy mm-hmm. who wouldn't even clean out a drawer in his room for her.
And who told her she stunk.
Oh, yeah. He said that her deodorant was fighting for its life. That's wild.
Dude. I would knee him in the nuts.
That's wild to say somebody who traveled across the world for you. And she didn't just get on a plane, Gina. She got off of a plane and got on
went
a train.
Went on a bus. A train.
I don't love anybody enough to do that. If there's not a direct flight, we might not ever meet. Like, I'm just being honest, Gina. We might not ever meet. If I have to get off of a plane and get on a bus, get off a bus and get on a train, we'll probably never meet. Like, honestly, I don't love you that much. No. Or you can come see me. Right? You can come see me. Because I ain't doing that. And I do get it. Traveling, I feel my dirtiest on airplanes. First of all, you know they recycle that air the whole time you're in the air. It's just
I know. It's the first thing that I do. As soon as I get to, like, my family's house, or as soon as I get to, like, the hotel, the first thing I'm doing is I'm taking a shower.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I feel disgusting, and it's funny when...
Especially if I'm traveling, like, 10, 12, 13 hours, I'm like, I'm done, like... I need to get in, take a shower, and then get all prettied up.
Joda said he didn't even go to the airport. He sure didn't. No. He made her take a Uber to his house. Like, no. See, that's my whole thing. Like, I can't, no. Not, and, oh, Geek said I broke up with a guy because he cussed at my cat. Right? People got to learn some respect, right? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so her whole storyline pisses me off, and, you know, I don't really care how her relationship goes, because she's always going to be the cat abandoner. You know how Jasmine is the kid abandoner? She's the cat abandoner, and I'm never going to be Team Greta for that. Like, she could have brought that cat with her, because he could have easily got a one-bedroom apartment for her and her cat. If he loved her, that's the least he could have done, right? Yeah. And these ladies, stop falling for these mama's boys. We watching Brandon and Julia on Happily Ever After. Get you a man that loves you more than his mom. And I know that sounds mean, but he should put you first. If he married you, he got on one knee, and he asked you to combine your life with his, you should have a say in your relationship. Stop going with men that will choose their mom over you and leave your ass high and dry.
Yeah, just stop going with men who's trash, basically. But, okay, I think we're done with tonight's episode.
Yeah, we're gonna sign off. We're about done. Oh, does he drive? He does drive a car. And he's not broke, as far as she said. She said that he has a good job. I can't
remember. He's in finance. I'm in finance. So it just depends on what he does in finance. Because he can be calling people saying that they owe money on unpaid debts. And he's a collector and only works on... like commission.
Oh, I didn't know that was also finance, like a bill collector. I didn't know.
Well,
that.
it would be in the finance sector or whatnot, right? Because we're talking about money.
Maybe he is broke. I mean, he's giving off broke vibes, right? I hate to judge a book by its cover, but he's giving off broke vibes.
Let's be honest.
Nothing in his room looked expensive. I'll put it that way. Like, if you don't even have rent, your room should be filled with expensive stuff, because you don't even have rent, right? All right, he's the guy who's been trying to reach you about your extended warranty.
That's him. He's the insurance guy. He's the insurance.
And he's leaving voice messages all day long. All right, guys, we're going to sign off. We'll probably do another podcast sometime this week for pop culture, because we're going to talk about that Diddy sentencing that happened on Friday, because there's a lot to talk about with that. And we'll probably talk a little Seek and Sister Y too later in the week. But thanks for joining. Thank you to Gina for joining. Everybody have a wonderful week. And we'll talk
Bye,
to you all
guys.
Soon. Bye.